thrown over to the Fae, and yet the guild leader didn't hesitate to hand you over, which is curious to say the least. I heard you signed a blood contract, which means if Ryder told you not to disclose information to the guild, you would have to comply with his wishes. He turned and watched Ryder nod his reply. Your point is? I inquired carefully, wondering where he was going with this. She seems to know you. She said your name, and Adrian showed her a picture, and she just replied with Cynthia McKenna. She was with the killer for an entire night, and yet she is completely whole. Someone is killing immortals, and your name just keeps popping up. Vlad continued. That makes no sense. I just found out about this case, just started to investigate it. The murders have been happening for a while, and as best as I can tell, it has nothing to do with me. Unless someone was hiding the facts from me, I thought with curiosity. Seems you're involved, whether you know it or not, Cynthia. Vlad purred before nodding to a man who had been standing in the doorway that led to the rooms where Ryder had been with the serving girl. The guy stepped aside and pushed the small girl's shoulders gently, encouraging her to move forward. She opened her vivid green eyes and tilted her small cherubic face, bouncing her burgundy curls out of her face as she did so. Everyone watched as she took small steps until she stood directly in front of me. She was dressed in a small pink summer dress that had short sleeves, and she was barefooted in a vampire club. Her eyes took me in and found me lacking. I almost laughed. I found this outfit lacking as well. She looks human, I blurted, feeling anything but brilliant. Vlad choked and looked horrified. For someone hanging around a Fae, you don't know dick about them. He flicked a quick, nervous glance to Ryder, who nodded almost imperceptibly. Vlad knelt down to the child's level. They look human until somewhere about 20 or 22, and then they go through transition. It's a bit like puberty, but a hell of a lot more violent as they come into their full powers during this time. At this age, they could be mistaken for witches' children. Cute as all get out, with a lot of magic. Ryder chose that moment to growl, cutting anything else Vlad might have set off. When the child indicated for me to come down closer to her level, I winced. Ryder had taken up a position to my right, and Adrian was on the left. Adam and Larissa were still rooted to the spot they'd taken since coming in and finding Adrian undead. I pushed the vinyl closer to my skin as I bent my knees, trying to keep some semblance of modesty while getting low enough to be eye level in the heels.
Cynthia,
she said, barely audible, even at eye level.
I have a message for you.
I swallowed and nodded, wondering what this child had seen at the hands of the killers. I hadn't noticed Ryder's men coming inside. Every one of them made a semicircle around us, which I was gathering was for protection, more than just for looks. Which they all had, since they were immortal fae or demon. Witches? I asked the child in a firm voice, which belied the emotions running through me at being singled out by the killer.
We know what you are. Nothing can stop what is coming. Not even you, Cynthia. What we did to those who hid you is nothing compared to what we will do to those protecting you now. You cannot hide from destiny. You are a missing piece.
I almost fell over my perch. Who told you that? How do you know my name?
You can't stop him. Can't stop them from coming. They know what you are. What is coming cannot be stopped.
She said softly, as if she wasn't aware of what she said at all. Who sent you? Ryder interjected, pulling me up and against him as Adrian growled at his actions. The child chose that moment to crumple into Vlad's arms as we all watched in silence. I felt the power, putrefied by evil, slither over my skin. My knees buckled as I recalled the last time I had felt an evil this powerful. It had been when my parents had been murdered.
Breathe, Sen,
Ryder growled against my ear as I took strength from his warm body pressed against mine. It's them. They were controlling her somehow. How the hell did they find me? I whispered, shocked by what the child had said. Was it possible the killer knew or was working with the Fae who had killed my parents?
We're leaving now,
Ryder growled, but Vlad stopped him with his other hand as the child sat up and started to whimper. I watched her small green eyes meet and hold mine. She was afraid. She'd been through hell, and I knew she'd seen horrible things just by the sheer panic I could read in her young eyes. I pushed from Ryder's hold and went to my knees again. I'm Cynthia. You're safe here. She said nothing, but giant tears rolled down her cheeks as I held out my hand for her to take, which she did with trembling hands. She was the only link we had between the killers and their victims. Something inside of her had been worth stealing or using, and we needed to know what it was that had attracted them to her.
Cynthia,
Ryder and Adrian said in unison. She's been through hell, I said, not moving, since she was terrified of us already.
They entered through her to get that message to you, baby, and they could do it again,
Adrian said, as Ryder growled at his use of the term baby.
She isn't yours anymore. She is mine for now.
Ryder growled, not helping the situation we were in at all. You guys can compare dick sizes later. Right now we need to get her medical help, because I would think that the only way to take over another Fae is by implanting some very painful devices or powerful magic. So if you're done fighting over someone who, by the way, belongs to neither of you, we need to get her to a medical facility specializing in Fae. Ryder was the first to respond.
We have a small medical facility inside the mansion, and you are mine under contract. Sin's not Fae. She's not obligated to consider the contract binding.
Adrian growled, but Vlad stepped in, placing his hand on Adrian's shoulder as his eyes flickered to Ryder in fear.
He's young, sire. Please excuse his rudeness.
Sire? I asked carefully. Why the hell would Vlad call Ryder sire? Unless the vampires had decided to team up and become controlled by the Dark Fae. But if the Horde King ever came out of hiding, it wouldn't bode well for either of them, since we'd heard that the Horde King was the alpha among the entire Fae race, and the other was the reclusive Blood King. I jumped as a small hand folded into my other hand, and then I was thrown on my ass when she crumpled into my arms. It's okay, you're safe. I won't let them use you again, little one. I looked up to catch Ryder giving me a weird look, as if I was a mystery, which wasn't the case. The fact that she'd been around the men who had killed my parents wasn't comforting. They had been evil to their core, and she'd made it out alive. The vamps wanted me here, thinking this had to do with the serial killer, but the child was talking about the Fae who killed my parents. How could these killers be connected?
They're afraid of you,
the child whispered as she pulled herself up to look down at me. What makes you say that? I asked, narrowing my eyes.
You are the only one who can stop them,
she replied before placing her silky hair back in my face as she held on, as if I would disappear from beneath her at any moment. They won't get to me. I have the Dark Fae helping me find them. See that scary man standing there? I asked her, flicking my eyes to Ryder so she knew who I was referring to. He's the Prince of the Dark Fae. And do you know what that means? She sniffled and shook her head.
He's scary,
she mumbled while sniffling more. Yes, but it means they have to get past him to get to me, I said, hoping she would understand it. I held Ryder's eyes briefly. For the first time since signing his stupid contract, I was glad I had. He was deadly, and he was under contract to protect me, as I was to serve him. I heard Adrian cuss as he understood what I was saying. I was giving Ryder the right to protect me in my coven, while telling him that I was his verbally. I couldn't put this on the guild, Alden was under lock and key, and unless I wanted the same fate, I had no choice but to truly give in and trust Ryder. He was deadly, as were his men, and I had just had a pretty red bullseye tattooed on my rear end by some sort of supernatural Jack the Ripper serial killer, or the Fae who killed my parents, or were they one and the same? I had my coven to consider, and the child who was now sobbing into the vinyl lace-up top I wore. I met Adrian's eyes briefly, and then walked out of the club with the child in my arms. Chapter 21. The ride back to the mansion had been wrapped in uncomfortable silence. I could see the tension and anger riding inside Ryder's golden eyes. Adam and Larissa held on to each other, as if at any moment the sky would fall. Adrian had demanded to come back with us, but Ryder had stepped in and, thankfully, stopped it from happening. I wasn't processing it. My mind was shutting down, and exhaustion was settling over me from the day's events. I stayed long enough to ensure the child had been put under by Ryder, and whatever it was he did that made it so you could do nothing else but pass out cold. I needed to figure out what he said and what language it was, so I could use that instead of the sleeping pills I'd been taking since I was a child to escape the nightmares. I made it all the way to my room and had enough time to change out of the skin-tight vinyl outfit and into some boy-cut undies before the door was opened and Ryder walked in with his usual confidence firmly in place. "We need to talk, Cynthia," he said, closing the door and settling into the single chair. "I'm tired. Can we do it in the morning?" I asked, hoping he would say yes.
"What are you?"
He came straight to the point, ignoring the fact that I was in my undies and topless, with only my arms shielding him from my naked breasts. "I'm tired and mentally fried, Ryder. And at the moment, I'm half naked, so either turn around or get out of the room so I can get dressed." His self-absorbed smile spread over his mouth.
"I own you, and I don't mind at all."
I ignored him, spinning around so he couldn't see anything as I slipped into the tank top before I turned back around. "You don't actually own me, Ryder, and the contract didn't include late-night visits to my room. I have no idea what she was talking about, or what they think I am. As far as I know, I'm a witch. I can't do anything that I haven't read or learned from the guild or a book." And I had read a lot. I loved books.
"Indeed," he mused, as I walked over to the bed and plopped myself down in front of him.
I folded my legs Indian style and faced him.
"What else do you want to know?"
I was giving him honest answers. He looked young, and yet he was ageless because he was Fae. I knew he was older than our records said. They had him being only a few years older than me, but his eyes told another story with their endless depths of knowledge. I was pretty sure he had to know more than I had learned in my entire 21 years.
"How old are you?"
he continued. 21 years old, going on 100. He smiled, but it was all teeth.
"Funny girl. The child said they were coming for you. Any ideas on who it is or why?"
he asked, watching my face for a reaction. "They've never tried before. I don't see why they would now."
"Fair enough. I need to examine the brand on your neck, Sin. May I?"
he asked cautiously, as if he was afraid I would say no. "Why?" I asked just as prudently as he had.
"Because it doesn't protect you from me fully, and I am pretty sure if I had one of my men come in, it wouldn't work against them either. You have somewhat of a natural immunity to the Fae, but I want to test it to see just how resistant you are. I can make you feel things, but you don't turn completely mindless from my touch. You are still aware mentally, even if you can't fully ignore my wishes. It's almost as if every time I use it, you build immunity to it."
"Fine, but no funny business." I swallowed. I was pretty sure I'd been both mindless and boneless in his room.
His lips quirked as he stood up and moved closer. I need you to lie on your stomach and hit your on switch. I hesitated as he got closer, my courage breaking away. I shook my head as I scooted further onto the bed to give him some room and lay down on my stomach slowly. No funny business. I turned, meeting his eyes briefly. Those eyes filled with molten heat as they lowered to meet mine. I turned my head back around and dropped it to the bed, wondering what the hell I'd just gotten myself into. I had gone from trained killer to blushing bumbler since meeting Ryder, and it was pissing me off. I felt the bed move under his weight and hissed as his fingers swept my hair away from the brand. I stretched my neck, wondering why he would think it wasn't working. I'd never had any issues with the Fae until him. When did you get this? His voice resonated from above my head as his hot breath fanned against my neck, sending heat pooling between my thighs. Around 13? Any idea what it says? His voice was hoarse and not helping the fight that the damn butterflies were having inside my abdomen. No, only that it is supposed to protect against the influence of the Fae. I can't read it, he said, as though he was puzzled. But, I'd heard the but in his tone. It's old, the branding is. This isn't from the guild. Of course it is. I don't let just anyone write brands on my skin, Ryder. And every brand is supervised by Alden to ensure it is correct. He didn't reply. Instead, his fingers traced over the invisible ink that he shouldn't be able to see at all, and he hadn't asked me to turn the ink on for color, which meant he could see it plainly. You can read it as is. Only this one. The others are undetectable unless you allow them to be seen. I'm going to take a gander that it was intended to be that way deliberately. I turned over until I was lying on my back and looking up into his eyes. He didn't push the answer out. Instead, he waited for me to decide how much I wanted to tell him about it. I inhaled his scent and let it rush through me, relaxing the tension the day had caused on my nerves. The brands, with the exception of the one on my neck, were placed on me with ink designed by Alden. It's enchanted to react with our powers. It's supposed to keep us grounded from the lure of the dark arts. Since we only started messing with them a few years ago, he decided to use us. I watched his mind run through the implications, the knowledge sinking in that I hadn't been branded by normal ink ever. He lifted his eyes and scanned my face before saying anything. You didn't have ink before 13. I thought all the witches receive ink before then. So you had nothing but the stars. I flinched, remembering why I had them. They were for my parents, one for each, with traditional black ink defining the burns into the true stars on the front of my shoulders. Correct. I didn't need any ink at first, and then we received the white ink. Can I try something without you freaking out, Cynthia? He asked, watching my face. Do I have to be naked for it? I countered, narrowing my eyes, watching his mouth turn up into a beautiful, mischievous smile. No, but I have to touch you. I want to see if the brands protect you from me when activated, or if it affects me at all. I swallowed past the uneasiness that flared to life inside my stomach with his words. You want me to invoke my powers while you try to use yours on me? What if we end up forgetting who we are like we did last time? I didn't forget who I was, Sin. I knew exactly who I was and who I was with when I lost control with you. My body responded to his words even as my breathing grew labored. I can't be with you, Ryder. It's not allowed while I work for the guild. To have sex? He asked, narrowing his eyes again. No, I can have sex. Lots of sex with lots of people, just not of the Fae variety. I'm not sure I could ever be with any Fae. Besides, what if something happened and I got pregnant?
I mean, the Guild has us on mandatory contraceptives designed for our kind, but something could always happen, and none of the Fae accepts changelings. Not to mention, I wouldn't wish me as a mother for any child. I was rambling, so I stopped when he noticed. He smiled forlornly.
The Horde does,
he answered, flashing his smile back to full force. Yeah, but their king is missing, and unless I'm mistaken, the vampires are changing sides already. Your side, to be precise, which means he's either gone or he's in play. I watched his face shut down, going completely emotionless.
You watch too many conspiracy movies, Cynthia.
Be that as it may, Vlad called you sire tonight, Ryder.
I'm a prince. Besides, I'm higher on the food chain than he is, and I've earned the respect.
I tilted my head and considered it. It could have been, or it could have been that Vlad was leaderless and seeking out a new alliance, and Ryder, being Dark Fae, would be the closest to the Horde. Unlike the Light Fae, the Dark Fae got along with the Horde.
Could have been, yes. I have no plans of making any new alliances.
I nodded, and then shrank back as his hand came out to rub against my palm, sending a tremble through my entire body. His thumb traced over the small wound on the palm of my hand softly.
How easily can you summon your powers?
He inquired, never taking his eyes from mine. I should be running from him instead of indulging him. I didn't answer him. Instead, I invoked them and watched the white glow light up in his eyes. His smile faltered as he moved closer, lying down lengthwise beside me until our faces were inches apart. He was the most sexual male I had ever encountered in my life. He oozed power from his pores. I shouldn't trust him, and yet I trusted him more than I thought I did.
Your eyes don't match when they light up,
he whispered, resting his head in his hand while his elbow sat on the bed. So I've been told, I whispered back, fighting to keep my voice from trembling. His close proximity was playing hell on my hormones. My hand shook where his thumb still played over the sensitive flesh, which was weakening my willpower with every slow stroke.
You ready, pet?
He inquired, looking a little too eager. For your little science project? I asked, making sure we were on the same page. He grinned wolfishly before he leaned over close enough that I could smell the mint on his breath, as if he had come here planning on kissing me.
Something like that. I need to see how this thing works. I know it doesn't work against me completely, but we need to test it.
If I'd been using my brain, I might have asked why, but Mr. Sex Incarnate was inches from my lips, and the only thing I could think of was what he had been doing to Claire in his office, and how I had wanted to trade places with her, which was crazy. When his mouth found mine, it wasn't a crushing kiss or hard. Instead, it was tender and firm as he tested me. When he touched me, it was electrical, like standing next to a live wire while sparks flew from it to land on you, and yet you were trapped in place by its beauty. That was the only way to describe his touch and kiss. It scared me. It was intense, more than I had ever felt with Adrian. I knew the instant he pushed his fey powers on me. Everything else faded away, and my only need was to take him. Ryder, I said with my voice filled with need.
Do you want me to stop?
He asked, pulling further away as he pulled the magic with him. I swallowed, but pulled him back down. Did you get what you needed for the science thing? His eyes lit up, and he shook his head as more fae magic pushed into my mind. It was painful at first, but gone instantly when his lips caressed mine. I moaned and pushed against his mouth with need for him that was so hot and fierce. I was afraid I'd be left in a pile of ash if he didn't continue and give me more of his mouth. When he pulled away, I cried from the loss. Ryder!
What's your name?
He demanded in a husky voice, filled with hunger. Sin, now shut up and kiss me, Ryder. His lips tugged at the corner before he kissed me again, more demanding this time. his hand cradling my neck as he moved over the top of me and ground his erection against my pelvis. More power filtered in, and he kept asking my name or other questions as I answered and demanded more of him. My body was an inferno, my center saturated with the proof of his sexual allure and power he held inside of himself. My body willing, my mind was still intact enough that I knew who I was and where I was. I shook with it. My hands found his head and pulled him back down as his knee slid between my legs and pressed against my core.
"Do you want me to stop? I need to know, because if we go too much further, pet, I'm going to bury myself deep inside of you,"
he asked, pulling away from the kiss. I didn't know. For the first time in my life, I wanted to tell Afay yes. I wanted him, and only him.
"I want to feed from you so fucking badly, Sin. I need to part your legs and drive my cock inside of you. I want to see you as you come undone for me."
His words penetrated my brain like a knife through an eye socket. "No, Ryder, I can't."
"Can't or won't, Sin?"
he growled in frustration. I was about to answer when a soft knock sounded from the door. Ryder was up and fixing his erection against his jeans before I could say anything else. My eyes latched onto it as it stood proudly against his navel. I licked my lips, wanting to ask him to stay, but not knowing how to. I knew where he'd go after this. I could see his hunger burning in his eyes.
"You keep saying you can't, and it's a lie. You won't. You hide in the fucking past. You're not living, Sin. You're just going through the motions of it. You want me. I can smell it. You need it as much as I do right now. The difference is I can admit to what I want, and you can't."
I gulped in air and fought for something to say while he waited, watching me struggle internally. He snorted and turned for the door. "Wait, Ryder, I..."
"Save it,"
he interjected, cutting me off.
"I own you, Sin, so know this. While you're under my roof and my protection, the only release you will get is from me, not by your hand or another's. When you can grow the fuck up and admit to me what your body already knows, well, you know where to find me."
I watched him turn and walk out of the room as Larissa and Adam walked in, wide-eyed. "Oh, hell, Sin. Your lips are kiss-me-silly swollen," Larissa said with wide, shocked eyes.
"She's more than that, baby,"
Adam responded when I couldn't find the words. He was holding her hand, and I wanted to cry. I'd never have that again, the love they felt for one another. It would be forever beyond my grasp. "So what's up with you and Ryder anyway?" Larissa asked, floating in to sit on the bed while she dragged Adam with her. "Nothing," I lied and felt a pinch of regret for doing so. "I'm immune to him, apparently. Well, mostly. He can't turn me into a mindless zombie, but I do feel his powers, just not on a level I should."
"That motherfucker tried to turn you fizz? I'll fucking kill him."
Adam was enraged and off the bed in seconds, taking long strides to the door. "I asked him to. Well, sorta," I said quickly to stop Adam from getting his ass handed to him, which I was pretty sure Ryder would do right now if disturbed with Claire and his damn desk.
"Wait. Wait a minute. You hate the Fae. What the hell is wrong with you?"
Adam demanded, coming back over to sit on the bed beside Larissa. I blew out a deep breath. "This brand on my neck, it's not for the Fae, Adam. Ryder doesn't know what it says, and I'm pretty sure he's older than dirt." Adam narrowed his eyes and shook his head.
"What do you mean it's not for the Fae? What the hell did Titus put on your neck?"
"No idea, but we need to figure it out, and soon," I replied, shaking my head. I tried to remember what Titus had said while tattooing the ink and gave up. I licked my lips nervously and spoke low so only those inside the room could hear me. "I have no birth certificate, according to Ryder, And you don't either, Adam. There are no pictures of me inside my parents' house before I was 6 months old.
I was left at the guild, so no surprise there. But there has to be some pictures of you as an infant. Well, unless you were an ugly baby.
I snorted at his response, since it pretty much matched the one I had given to Ryder. I considered my options and then turned to look at Larissa. If Adam cut it off, you could heal it, right?
Oh, hell no. We can't just cut it off, Sin. Have you lost your mind?
Larissa said, turning a light color of green. I rubbed my eyes, tired from everything I had dealt with today. Adrian is alive, I mumbled, knowing that was what they had come here for.
Technically, he's... Ow!
Adam whined and rubbed his ribs where Larissa had just elbowed him. I barely contained a smile as he continued to do so.
I know. How could he do that to us? I mean, he actually got turned into a vampire. I can't believe it. And he was all over you. He thinks he can come back here after we buried him? Seriously, the guy is going to send my ass to counseling.
Larissa shouted in her best outraged voice for my benefit. If you want, I can grab my notebook and pen and you can lie on the couch, I teased her. Adam laughed and lifted his green eyes up to meet mine. He wasn't fooled by the jokes I was using to deflect the conversation at all.
He doesn't deserve you. He left us. All of us. He left the coven to become more powerful, Sin.
Yeah, I get that. But why? He was already powerful. I replied, thinking it over.
No idea, but now that Larissa has fed her curiosity of why Ryder was inside your room and no voices could be heard from the door, I bid you good night.
Adam smiled as Larissa glared at him before he walked out and closed the door behind him. You can't be with Ryder, ever, Sin, she said hastily. I know that. He was trying to figure out what the brand on my neck was for. Just don't worry about it. It's my ass, not yours. Why are you so worried about me when you have Adam? I asked, deflecting her statement. I've liked him since we were little. I just need to see where this goes. She moved her hair behind her ear and smiled sadly. I'm doomed. I think I should become a nun. I smiled, trying to lighten the mood.
We're both going to hell, but at least we will be there together.
Larissa said, grinning. Not anytime soon, though, I joked half-heartedly. If we didn't catch this killer, it might be sooner rather than later.
Chapter 22. The next few days were difficult, but we'd managed to settle into a routine of sorts. My coven worked out in the morning together, as we always had, while Ryder and his men disappeared to wherever it was they went to during the days. Communications were short and kept to a minimum. I trained with Ryder and Zaruk, who seemed to be his second in command. I'd even managed to hold a teacup in the correct way. Who knew there was an actual right way to hold a flimsy little china cup? Today, I was being instructed on how to dance. By Ryder himself. Ryder said to pick out something suitable to dance in, so I was relieved when Larissa showed up, holding an ice blue dress and shoes. It was backless and soft, not something I would normally wear, but I was limited on choices. I slipped into it and stared at my bare feet. I slipped on the matching shoes, decided to leave my hair down, and slapped on some light makeup. Zaruk knocked, opened the door, and nodded, before offering his arm so we could head to the room in which we'd be dancing in. Adrian had never wanted to dance. The other night couldn't be considered, since all I'd done was move my feet while he'd held me. I'd been too stunned to do much more than that. I just had to train for one more night, and then I'd been promised we'd be allowed out, even if only for a few hours. Adam and Larissa had both begged to go to the guild Samhain party. I peeked around Zaruk's wide shoulders to watch as several couples twirled around the dance floor. Surprisingly, Adam and Larissa were one of those couples. I smiled as I watched them glide smoothly to the music and wondered how I could have missed the relationship. They looked happy together, complete.
Coming in, or do you plan on hiding behind me all day?
Saruk teased with a wide grin that lit all the way to his vivid blue eyes. I don't dance. Not like that, anyway. I mumbled, looking around at the faces, stopping when I realized I was looking for Ryder. I stepped forward into the room, and everyone stopped as the music halted. Saruk herded me toward a set of chairs that had been set up. I was told to take a seat and watch. Easier said than done, as Claire and Ryder came in together, smiling from where I had just entered the room myself. Ryder was dressed in the casual clothes he seemed to prefer, white long-sleeved shirt with low-slung jeans. His hair was wet, as if he'd just come from a shower. His eyes flickered to me briefly before going back to Claire's perfect chocolate depths. Claire gave me a haughty look before she said something to Ryder as he allowed her to curl up against him and the music started up. I swallowed down the foreign feelings that rushed up and fought to control my mind. Why should I feel anything if Ryder had his mistress in his arms and they were currently dancing slowly to music? I bit my lip and looked away from the happy couple, turning my eyes to the door as more of Ryder's men walked in, wearing white t-shirts and jeans. Muscles and tattoos pulsing against their bulging and bronzed perfection showed through their t-shirts. I almost bit my lip off as Adrian and Vlad walked in close behind them. What the hell were they doing here? I sank lower in my chair, trying to become one with it. No such luck. Adrian walked over and sat beside me as Ryder detangled himself from Claire's clutches, leveling a glare at us.
We need to talk, Fancy Face,
Adrian said, without looking at me as he watched the couple still dancing. No, we don't.
I need to explain why I did this, so you can make peace with it,
he continued. I watched as Ryder's men gathered in a corner, pulling out folding chairs and sitting in them. Some were straddling them, while others pulled out two and sat in one while kicking their feet up on another. Were they expecting a show? Great, more people to witness my disgrace. I watched as Ryder came over and held out his hand, while Claire did the same to Adrian. I stood meeting Adrian's turquoise gaze while I accepted Ryder's hand and allowed him to pull me across the floor to stand between some of the couples that had paused for us to join in. He placed his hand on the small of my back. His other held my hand as we waited for the song to start. We didn't have long to wait. The music started. Even as the butterflies played with my insides, his eyes locked with mine as the song started up slowly. David Cook's Time of My Life came on, the music filling the room around us. It was a slow song, one meant for couples to dance together to. I stumbled when he moved and started to apologize until I caught the smile on his lips. I can't dance, Ryder. You never said anything about dancing when I signed the contract.
Take off your shoes,
he countered, already releasing me and bending over to take his own footwear off. I watched him as others did the same, and eventually I ignored the brilliant blush that crept up to my cheeks and followed suit, stepping out of the borrowed strappy heels. Ryder smiled, and I stared at him. He was shockingly beautiful and ethereal. Like a lion, you wanted to touch him, but knew by doing so he'd consume you, body and soul. I swallowed and held my hand up for him to take it.
Put your feet on mine, Cynthia,
he said quietly, aware that everyone was watching us. I exhaled and obeyed him, knowing his men were watching us, as well as my coven. When the song restarted, he carried us both, his hand once again on the small of my back, rubbing it softly as his fingers settled against it. My heart raced from this touch. The deep desire in his eyes made it flip-flop as he swept me around the room, until everyone else faded away, leaving the air of us being alone. I smiled as I looked down to watch our feet move together. I was nervous at being so close to him and doing something I had only ever done with my father. It had been the last thing we'd ever done together. But with Ryder, it was intimate, sending heat flooding through me. I looked back up, the smile still in place, to catch him staring openly in wonder at me.
What?
I asked, growing self-conscious.
You're very beautiful, Sen,
he whispered tenderly. I swallowed and tried to repay the compliment, but thought better of it and lowered my eyes. The butterflies had left, but in their place were a million reasons screaming that I should be running, that I was treading on dangerous ground with him. When I looked back up, he was frowning softly as he watched the emotions playing upon my face.
Not used to getting compliments, are you?
He asked, moving us closer together until my body was completely flushed with his. No, I replied honestly.
I scare you, Sen. Make you feel things you're afraid of admitting to yourself.
I met his eyes and refused to answer him. He already knew I was turned on by his touch, and I wasn't going to draw it out for him. I lowered my eyes and then turned them over to where Adrian was dancing with Claire. Why is he here?
Because they will be attending the engagement ball, and we can use all the help we can get right now to keep Ariana safe. I won't take chances with her.
Where is she? If you guys are getting married, I think you'd be dying to be together already. I know I would be. Well, with... I was tripping over my tongue, and his amused smile told me he was enjoying it. If it were me, Ryder, I'd want to be with you. I watched his smile fade, and then I replayed what I had just said. That came out wrong.
I'd want you close as well, Cynthia.
He whispered close to my ear.
Maybe I should ditch her and take my chances with you.
That wasn't how I meant it at all, I squeaked, even as he smiled wider.
And what if I did?
He asked, still smiling. Well, then I would say you are crazy, I said, and watched his smile fade away to the normal wicked grin.
You think someone would have to be crazy to want you?
Well, you, yes. Because you don't like me, remember? I'm sarcastic and stubborn, and those are just a few of the things you don't like about me. I should start a list to keep track, I said softly. He did the last thing I expected him to do. He threw his head back and laughed while still moving us around the dance floor without missing a step. I had to remind myself to breathe. Smiling was one thing, but watching this man laugh took years off his face and replaced him with a rogue who was irresistible, and his laughter was contagious. Everyone inside the room watched us closely. Those who had been dancing had moved from the dance floor, and the song had also changed, yet I'd been too wrapped up in Ryder to notice anything. His touch and the sound of his laughter had instantly made my body flood with heat, and it was unacceptable. He growled seductively, pulling me out of the panic before I could get too deep into worrying about it. His eyes narrowed on me, his body pressing further against me.
Come with me tomorrow night, Cynthia,
he said huskily. Where? I asked, even though I shouldn't have. I would have been attending the Witch Guild event tomorrow if I hadn't been under contract. I'd cleared it for Larissa and Adam to go, since I had no reason to keep them from attending the only holiday the guild celebrated.
An event my club is throwing. Just something small.
He replied smoothly, but his grin had come back with blinding effects. Posing as Ariana?
No, Sen, as yourself.
I narrowed my eyes on him, carefully thinking over everything he had said. I had to be missing something. Why would you want me to come as myself? He narrowed his eyes, his lips drawn back. I was walking in uncharted territory here. He'd never really been kind to me. Hell, we weren't even friends. More like enemies, with slightly twisted benefits. He could choose from any woman he wanted, and he was choosing me? Or maybe I was reading too much into this. Maybe he wanted to take me somewhere private and kill me. It was the more likely scenario. He leaned in close again, his hot breath fanning on the hollow column of my neck before lifting to my ear to whisper.
You're doing it again. Overthinking, overanalyzing everything. My club in action would better prepare you for the ball. It's a win-win situation, Sen.
I shivered as his lips pressed against my ear. He inhaled deeply before moving back to where I could read his face. No tricks? He smiled, but it was all teeth.
No tricks. Just us being who we truly are.
No using your powers on me. I swallowed with a memory of how they felt.
Not unless you ask me to, and then I won't hold back.
I blinked and made a mental note to, under no circumstances, ask him to use them. I tilted my head, thinking of what else I needed to ask, but I was coming up blank. This is for research only.
No, Sin. This is to get you to let go. You keep struggling to control everything around you. It's impossible. Well, unless you're me. Think you can handle that. One night of letting loose, just being yourself and not this tough shell you show off to everyone else.
I'm not a shell, and I don't try to control everything. I narrowed my eyes. Okay, so maybe I do try to control things. The unknown can get people killed, Ryder. If I lose control, people die in my line of work. His lips turned down as his eyes narrowed.
Mine too. But I still allow myself one night to, well, one night to let loose and be myself.
He'd hesitated. Ryder never hesitated. If you tell me when you will end the contract between us, it doesn't have to be a date, but it has to be a time frame, Ryder. If you can give me that, then I will give you one night of just being myself. He tilted his dark head and stopped dancing. I stepped off his feet and watched him as he held out his hand to shake on it. Or so I thought, until he gripped my hand and brought it palm up to place a gentle kiss on the soft flesh.
It's a deal.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus. What the hell had I just agreed to? The blood in my body was draining to one place, and it was as good of an excuse to use as any. When I was around Ryder, I spoke gibberish, and my brain was located in my nether region. I had to get away from him and fast before I did something I would live to regret. You didn't sleep with a man like Ryder and walk away the same woman you had been before. If I gave in, things would change inside of me forever. I turned in time to watch Adrian storm from the room, Adam following close on his heels. Larissa stood silently, watching them leave as I did. Ryder's men closed in around us, and I wondered what I had just missed.
Ryder. Glorious mindfuck, she's addictive. It makes my mind go to places it hasn't even fathomed before. She denies me while denying herself. She's growing weak. I can feel as she trembles against me, her walls coming down slowly, even as she struggles to keep them up. The scent of her need makes me want to pull back the delicate petals of her flower and devour it, consume it, fuck it. She's a drug, a virus in my system that needs to be eradicated. Nothing about her makes sense. She's a walking contradiction. She isn't what she says she is. I'm old enough to know the difference, see the difference. Yet, unable as I am to figure her out or why her blood calls to me. Why? Why should it? If she is what she says she is, the only thing that should respond to her is my cock. And yet, my mind is on her. Every fucking minute. When she came to my room, glorious with need, I wanted to take her, make her need my cock more than she needed to breathe. And yet I couldn't. I want her to come to me of her own accord, strange for me, as I take what I want without guilt, without remorse. She isn't human, not even fucking close. It's driving me crazy inside trying to figure out what she is. I can feel her hunger as if something is struggling to get out from under her skin. I can smell her need, raw and unmasked with a desire so fucking hot it makes my cock throb, longing to be buried in her sweetness. I smell her need, sweet and addictive. She's young, Her mind works differently than my own. I need to fuck her hard. She needs to validate why she should. Fucking stupid as it is, I don't think fucking her would be the same as Claire, as Claire is simply food. Sin wouldn't be. She'd be so much more. I can feel the draw, her body calling to mine as animals do in heat. I'd fuck her like an animal, raw, hot, and fucking hard. She made me lose control, again. She shook my hardened exterior and made me want her, an impossible feat for someone of my age and hers. It shouldn't have happened, wasn't in my plans. She wasn't in my fucking plans. And yet, when I am alone, the only thing I see in my head is her. All I hear are the hungry noises she made while she dry-fucked my cock. Those red fucking full lips, hard to miss when she speaks. The glorious fucking things they could do, will do. I want to fill her, slow, deliberate, deep, her juices sliding me in further, her spine aching from the fullness of my cock as she succumbs to it until she can take no more. Oh, but she will. She will take it all, filling her thirsty need to fuck. The electric blue fire that lights in her eyes, I want to watch it as it takes me, feeding my beast. I want to feel her swollen flesh pulsing around mine as she comes for me over and over again. Hear those fucking noises as she explodes on my cock. Maybe I should drain the life from her, watch it recede from her eyes, and end this before it goes further. She's an unknown, unpredictable. And yet something inside of her is struggling to grow, and I find myself wanting to cage her, just to watch her fucking struggle and overcome it. She's a puzzle box, and I want to take her apart and watch as she puts the pieces back, one by one, until she is whole again. Why does she draw me in? I've been with thousands of women and wanted to keep none. None of them drew me in like she does. She's quicksand, and I am treading into it quickly. Maybe it's the brand below the worthless one on her neck. Maybe it has clues to what she is or why she attracts. She doesn't even know it's there. Fucking puzzle box. Addicting. I want to hold her hands above her head and feed her inch after glorious fucking inch of my cock and watch her eyes as she takes me inside her body hungrily, greedily. Her mouth would open to gasp and she'd make those sweet, intoxicating sounds that drive me insane with the need to turn them from little noises to screaming as I fuck her until she trembles and gives me what I want. Her unrefined lust. She'd be magnificent in hunger, wild and unimaginable. She is making me violent with lust, unfed fey. Oh, fuck! I shouldn't be feeling anything for her. I'm here for one reason and one reason alone. She thinks I'm less than I am. I'm so much fucking more. Deadly is an understatement. When I reveal what I am, this world will never be the same again. I almost had her. I knew from the way she watched me as I fucked Claire, she wanted to be her, wanted me to use her soft, supple body instead to slake my unending hunger on. It took everything I had to keep the beast from going after her as she tore from the room, scared, her fucking scent flooding my mind. Claire didn't even satisfy. She left me cold. She was just useless flesh that takes any of my men any time. She'd been convenient before, but not anymore. Sin is scared. She should be fucking terrified. I want her, and nothing will stop me now, not even her newly risen love. If he gets in the way, he will really go to his grave. I own him now. Another fucking pawn on my growing board. his supposed death broke her, and I intend to pick up those pieces and use them to get inside her beautiful, fucked-up mind. She knows there is something different about me, but she's smart enough to keep it to herself. Smart because I'd have to snuff her out before she'd had a chance to live. Living. She hasn't even fucking begun to live. She's so locked in her fucking past that she doesn't even see the way everyone watches her. She's as clueless as Ariana, who will never become anything more than a fucking means to an end. Tomorrow night. She has no fucking clue. Tomorrow. She will be mine, if only for the night. It won't be enough to sate the hunger I feel inside for her, but it will be enough to brand her skin and mark her as my own. Then no one can question who she belongs to. She's mine, and I will have her in every fucking way possible. Until she becomes a problem. I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. Until then, I plan to take her until she only knows one name. Mine.
Chapter 23. I sat in the room, listening as Adam and Larissa droned on about the Samhain celebration the guild would be throwing. I'd be missing it this year to go with Ryder. He'd been cryptic about what it was that we were going to, but he'd said he'd give me a time frame for when I would be released from his contract. That alone was worth attending a Fae event for. I could have said no, but something inside me wanted to see him in his natural surroundings. There was something deeper to him, softer than I'd seen before. He'd almost seemed human while we'd danced together. If I was smart, I'd play sick and not go, but something darker inside me wanted to see him around his own kind, wanted to explore these darker feelings he was pulling to the surface inside me. Adrian had left a mark. He'd torn a huge part of my soul out when he died. His miraculous return only tore the wound open again, and maybe that was why I was pushing Ryder's buttons while pushing my own boundaries. But this hunger that Ryder was pulling from me was primal, an intense fire that was burning out of control and leaving ashes in its wake. Those feelings demanded to be explored, even as my mind warned me of the consequences. I considered the consequences, and yes, they scared me. He was pushing my boundaries, pushing my self-control. I was tempted to allow his seduction. I was fighting it, but it had more to do with the fear of what he could do, more than what he would do. His kisses pushed me further, consuming my mind with a desire that scared me and exhilarated me at the same time. I wanted to find the passion I felt with him, and yet I was attracted to the one thing I'd been scared of my entire life. He consumed my thoughts. I needed to get away from him, and fast. He was quicksand, and I was sinking. I should have been focused on the murders and who would be next. It had been quiet on that aspect, and we were no closer since Vlad had sent us that message, or sick and twisted invitation, or whatever you wanted to consider it. It meant that somewhere out there, someone was dying, being tortured for vital organs while we sat around and waited to find a body. I was going stir crazy inside the house, even though I normally just stuck to my bedroom anyway, reading in our apartment. Being inside this place with Ryder, under the same roof, was driving me insane. I almost jumped as a knock sounded from the door, disturbing my thoughts and the couple chattering on the other side of the room. Wasn't sure why they were inside my room, prattling on, but I was glad they were there. I was just about to yell open, but the person had already walked in before the words left my lips. Adrian stood there with his eyes locked onto me. I came off my back quickly, placing my bare feet down onto the carpeted floor. I swallowed the lump that swiftly filled my throat as his turquoise eyes swept the room and landed on me. I didn't know what to say. I wanted to ask him why he was there, why he had lied and hidden from us, but I knew I wouldn't accept the answer, no matter what it was. The truth was, he'd left us. Can I talk to you, Sin? Adrian asked, shoving his hands firmly in his pockets. I looked around the room and nodded, still unable to talk over the growing lump. Adam and Larissa remained silent, waiting to finally get the explanation from him as I was. I stood nervously, already reading his expression. We'd been that close. Alone? He asked the others. I turned to ask the others to leave, but Adrian stopped me. Outside, Fancy Face. The walls have ears. He said smoothly as he looked at the walls as if they would object. Okay, I said, looking down at my still bare feet. Let me grab something for my feet. I bent down, turning my flip-flops over, and dug my feet into them. As we moved down the hall, Adrian commented on their relationship. Knew they'd end up together, he said with a grin. Did you now? I mumbled sarcastically, trying to stop my hands from fisting up as I figured out what to do with them. I settled on crossing them over my chest as I stood awkwardly in my pink sweatpants that said Sassy Girl across my butt. The shirt I was wearing wasn't much better. It was the white zombie one I'd gotten at the concert we had gone to as a group a few years ago, and said, Living Dead Girl, across the breast area. They hate me, he said silently. What do you expect, Adrian? You ditched us, not the other way around, I said through clenched teeth. Ryder said we could talk by the pool, but I think I'd rather walk the grounds, he said as we made our way down the stairs. It was awkward to be walking next to someone you had spent years wishing you could have one last conversation with, one last kiss. I couldn't think of anything I wanted to say, and it all seemed so different now. I was a different person than I'd been before meeting Ryder. If this had happened before I'd met him, I would have thrown my arms around Adrian without caring what happened or why. Don't get me wrong, I'd still be pissed, but I missed him, and it was a relief to know I hadn't gotten him killed. We ended up walking a trail that started from the driveway and walked through thick greenery. Neither of us said anything at first, as if we were afraid to. I definitely was. He wasn't the same guy he'd been before. What's it like? I finally asked, letting curiosity get the better of me. Being dead? He asked with a sexy smirk. Yeah. I quickly looked away as something crunched a few feet away from us. It's not as bad as I thought it would be. I don't care for the having to feed part, but mix it with sex and it's amazing. He replied, still smiling as he placed his hands back in the pockets of his jeans. He'd been having sex, and I'd been Miss Do-It-Myself. Great. I waited for the jealousy to come, but it was muted when it did. I rubbed my arms, feeling the cool air flow over them as my eyes scanned the area, wondering if we had been tailed. I didn't have a choice, Fancy Face. The vampire who did this to me... Well, he handed me a picture of you. Said he would turn you if I didn't change. Vlad was worried we'd been sent after him, so he sent his version of a hit squad out that night. I did what I had to if it would keep you and the others safe. You didn't know it, Sin, but they were inches from you that night. Showed me where you were and then showed me the vamp standing beside you. We were so cocky back then. Reckless. He smiled as I turned to look at him. So you went with them? We were strong. We could have fought them. I was pissed. That should have been my decision to make, Adrian. And you took it without asking us. We'd have fought for you. And died, Fancy Face. You would have died. That wasn't something I could have lived with ever. And what if we had won? Then you would still be alive. I blanched and continued. Or more than you are right now, anyway. Damn it, Adrian. I buried you. I was shaking with anger, rage, and guilt. Baby, I couldn't take that chance. His eyes searched my face as he closed the distance between us and curled me against him in a tight embrace. You were my life, Sin. I couldn't chance it. Because I knew you would fight them, and I knew you'd die. It was a choice. Me for you.
I took it, and yes, maybe I should have had more faith in you, but at the time, I was given a choice and I made it.
He was cold. His body was more muscled than it had been, but where it had once been warm, it was now cold and his scent had changed. He smelled of earth and the cologne he had always worn. That made me smile. I listened to his